We now bring to these microphones David James, and David's on the move again. Noticeably, you're not going to be able to find him in the United States because he's actually in Romania. He's on a ministry trip there to Romania. We'll be joined by our oldest son, Jim Jr., who is in Israel and will be going into Romania to partner up with David as they have a ministry among those Christians in Romania with a very special point of direction they want to go. David's going to be talking about current theological issues, and Jim Jr. will be teaching the prophetic word of God. Now, as I said, David, this next week and the week after, a ministry trip into Romania.
That's right. I'm really excited to be here. The man I'm working with is a man named Iulian Abramescu, and he was a student of mine in Hungary back in around 2001, 2002, and now he's the director of Life Impact for Eternity here in Romania. He oversees a really extensive ministry of camping, sports outreach, and then education as well, and that's what Jimmy and I will be involved with as he works on training up the next generation of leaders. And, you know, we're excited to be in Romania. I've not done a lot of ministry in Romania, but I have done some. It's a country of about 21 million people, but only about 5% are born-again believers. So we're here in Eastern Europe, a former communist country, and it's just a tremendous opportunity. The majority of people here in Romania are Orthodox Christians. That's about 80%, and Roman Catholic about 5%. And then it really drops off in terms of born-again believers.
David, I know you teach a lot of courses. Why did they choose this particular one for you to teach this time?
Well, probably a couple of reasons. One is that Iulian had sent several of his young people to the Word of Life Bible Institute in Hungary for training, and I was there in May, and I taught this course to second-year students, and a couple of his young people who are here with me right now, I just had lunch with them today, came back with a report on the course. Plus, you know, in this part of the world, there's a tremendous lack of Bible teaching and a lack of clear exegesis and exposition of the Word of God. And obviously, that's largely because of a lack of training and especially of a lack of biblical interpretation, a lack of a biblical hermeneutic that we often talk about.
You know, when I travel across the world, and I'm sure this is the case with you, you travel even now probably across the world more than I do. I'm mostly here in the States. But I find a lack of solid biblical teaching on sound doctrine. It seems to be a problem wherever you may go, especially all over the world. But we frequently hear this defense for this with people saying something like, well, doctrine divides, but love unites. Your comments?
Well, you know, I think that's a very unbiblical way to look at it. I just have a real quick test that I put to my students. We ask the question, how many people are there in the world? Well, there are over 7 billion people. How many of those does God love? He loves all of them. How many of those are united with God? Well, very few. So even the love of God is not what brings unity. We are to love our enemies, for example, but we are not united with them in any spiritual sense. It's true that doctrine divides, but it's because belief unites, not because love unites. I think about also the importance of doctrine in the Scriptures. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul left Timothy in the city of Ephesus, at the church of Ephesus, to deal with false teachers. And he lists in chapter 1 a series of very serious sins. For example, he said that the law was made for the lawless, for the ungodly, for the unholy, for murderers, for fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars. And then he says this, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So it's the clearest place in Scripture where Paul directly links our behavior, lifestyle, and sound doctrine. He ties them directly together. So we live based upon what we believe.
Well, let's take a moment right now, the remaining time that we have, to discuss a few of the specific issues that you cover in the course. Let's start with the near-death experiences and the claims of trips to heaven.
it's something that you and I have dealt with for a number of years now. You and I started dealing with it when the movie Heaven is for Real came out. That was when a young boy, at the time 3 years old, came close to dying as a result of appendicitis, claimed that he went to heaven. That story started coming out a few months later after he had turned 4 years old. His story was developed by his father into a book and then into a Hollywood movie. But that joins a number of other movies and books that have come out over the years, especially over the last 10 to 15 years or so. And people are making all kinds of claims about going to heaven, visiting heaven after they die, and then coming back to life. Now, there are several biblical problems with this. One is that there are no instances of spontaneous resurrection in the Bible. The only spontaneous resurrection was the Lord Jesus himself. Everybody else who came back to life came back at the hands of Jesus or a prophet or an apostle. Also, when you find that in these books, the various claims of trips to heaven, it happens to people from all religions. So if people from all these different religions, whether they be Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu or other denominations that don't preach the gospel where people clearly don't understand, if they're all going to heaven, then what you and I believe the Bible to very clearly teach about the gospel simply isn't true, and Jesus is not the way, the truth, and the life. It's a very serious issue.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you're covering that. Here's another topic that you mentioned and one that we've dealt with quite a bit right here on the program. It's homosexuality and the same-sex marriage issue.
Well, that's right. I call it the LGBT agenda, which stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. Now they've added Q for queer to this lettering. But it is an agenda, and even though maybe a lot of people involved with just wanting to have a homosexual relationship and to be married, the people who are driving this, the people with money and influence, very clearly have an agenda. When the United States Supreme Court came out and made it mandatory for states to issue same-sex marriage licenses, the next day there was an article that came out in a publication called The Nation, and four different writers answered the question, what's next for the LGBT movement? And the conclusion they came to is that ultimately where they're going with this is to abolish the legal category of a marriage in terms of any kind of government or legal status within societies. And this is a global movement. We know that it is condemned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and Paul in Romans chapter 1 makes it very clear that a society that's permeated and characterized by homosexual behavior is one that is set up for destruction. It's at the bottom of what I call the death spiral of humanity. So it's a very serious issue.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's a major problem here in the United States. Quickly, tell me, how much of a problem is the LGBT issue in Romania?
It's not as big of a problem as it is in the United States, but the things are shifting. Largely, government still has laws against it, but the current generation, those young people in their teens and 20s, are now very much open to it, and homosexual, gay pride parades and activism is on the rise.
Moving on now to the section of the course that you're going to be giving on false gospel versus biblical gospel. What are some of the false gospels you discuss, and how would you define the true gospel of Jesus Christ?
Well, I discussed several, but to just give you an example of a couple, one is what I call the universal or hyper-grace gospel, which says that everybody will ultimately be saved. And we know that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So we know the Bible teaches only salvation through Jesus Christ, not through other religions. Another is the works gospel, which says that we can contribute to our salvation by doing good works, but Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's not of works, it's abundance of the grace of God. Another is the sacramental gospel, which is found in Orthodox Christianity or Roman Catholicism, where people have to go to the church and receive the sacraments in order to be saved. Another would be the baptismal gospel, which says you have to be baptized in order to be saved. But we understand the biblical gospel is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, came to this earth, became a man, died on the cross for our sins, stood in our place, took the punishment we deserve, and arose from the grave, and that all who believe and trust in him for salvation will be saved completely on the basis of God's grace through faith apart from works.
Amen and amen. Well, finally, David, let's focus on the area that you call prophecy and crisis. What are a few of the problem areas, and why do you see prophecy as so important?
Well, let's start with the last part first, and that is, I see prophecy as a litmus test for a biblical hermeneutic. Back in chemistry, you might remember you took a piece of paper and tried to determine whether a clear liquid was an acid or had baking soda in it. If it turned red, it was an acid. If it turned blue, it had the base in it. And prophecy is like that. If someone comes out with a dispensational, pre-tribulational, dispensational end-time scenario, then they're using a biblical hermeneutic. And we're seeing this in tremendous problems. And, for example, we've talked about UFO Nephilim eschatology. We've talked about attacks on pre-tribulational dispensationalism. And then the books that I wrote concerning the Harbinger and people misusing current events and the Bible and trying to mix them. Certainly prophecy is in crisis.
Yes, indeed. I would have to say that is the case. And that's the reason for this broadcast. And that's the reason we have weekly conversations with David James as well. Jim Jr. is going to be joining David on their ministry trip to Romania. He'll be teaching a prophetic book of the Bible. David is teaching current theological issues. Pray for them as they minister there in Romania. And be sure, David, that we have an opportunity to get together, get an update on what you're doing next week here on Prophecy Today. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Jimmy.